All right, we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. Yud Gimel Shulchan Isaiah HaMikdash. 13 tables. Now, I mentioned to you the other day that Shlomo HaMelech made a lot of tables, but the Gemara will discuss that. But the Mishnah is talking about other tables. Now, you may think it's hard to memorize 13 tables, but it's really not, because it's just three groups. Okay, everyone knows there was a Shulchan that had the Lechem Aponim, called Shulchan HaMaisha, Maisha Rabbeinu Shulchan, that held the Lechem Aponim. So there, we're going to learn there were two additional tables next to it. One, the preparation table. The Kohanim brought in the new breads, and they put it down to prepare the new bread. And another, when they took off the old, there was also a place to put it down. So there were actually three at the side of the Shulchan. And eight, we're going to learn, in the Bet Mitbachaya. Bet Mitbachaya, if you look at a map of the Beis HaMikdash outdoors, you all know there was a large Mizbeach. Next to it was the Beis Mitbachaya, which is the butcher area. The place where they not only shechted the animal, but skinned the animal and cut up the meat. Naturally, you need tables on which to cut up the meat. So there were eight tables there as well. So it's 8 and 3 is 11. And then we'll learn there were two more next to the Mizbeach, to service the Mizbeach. Let's see the Mishnah. So Yid Gemul Shulchan HaYisayah B'Migdash, Ches Shal Shayosh, eight made of marble, B'Beis HaMitbachayim, She'alei HaMedichim Es HaKorbayim, by the butcher area. On that, they rinse out off the insides of the animal. And you see, they have all these drawings, pictures of the Beis HaMikdash. I mentioned in the past, it was a lot bloodier than that. You know, it was a butcher area, where they cut up the meat, and they had so they had the shayosh. They made marble tables because they're cold. It's good to keep meat cold as you process it. Ubeis b'mariv hakevesh, and two alongside the mizbeach on the west side of the ramp. Echad shel shayosh, echad shel kesef, one of marble, one of silver. Shel shayosh noisem esayvarim, the marble. Was a holding place to put the meat that would go on the Mizbeach. Shel kesef klishares. And on kesef, they kept the various kalim that they would use. They needed different tools, and they would keep it there. That didn't have to stay cold, so that was metal. Ubeiz ba'ulam mebifnim, and two indoors in the ulam, al pesach habayis, echad shel shayosh, echad shel zahav. One in the indoor area where you walked in, al shashayish noisim lechem aponim b'knisasai. The marble one, they put the lechem aponim when they came in. It was fresh from the oven. They put it down to set it up. Al shazav itziyasai, and the gold one on the way out. Shemay lemakaydish v'loy meridin. You go from marble to silver to gold. Echad shazav mebifnim shalav lechem aponim tamid. So that was also gold. The Moshe Rabbeinu's was gold. So again, you go from Shayish to gold, and then again to gold on the way out. You don't want to go down on the way out. So these are the 13 tables. Not a whole lot to talk about. The eight tables on which they did the butcher work, is not much to discuss. The Gemara will only discuss, the inside, table that held the bread. Now, we just said that the fresh bread came out of the oven. They had a holding table for it. That was made of marble. Tani al shel kesef. There's a version that says that the hot breads were on a silver table. Reb Yaisi, b'shem Reb Shmuel bar Reb Yitzhak, Reb Chananya, mati ba mishum Reb Yechanan, les kan shel kesef. Our Gemara holds that it's not made out of silver, v'mnei shehu marsiach. It's not good. The bread will spoil. You want the bread to cool after it comes out of the oven. You don't want it to stay hot. You want it to cool. So therefore, don't put it on metal, which will only reflect the heat back. Put it on marble, where it will cool quickly. Frakti Gemara, cool? Has to cool? Like Kain Tani, didn't we learn? Ze echad min anisim shenasu bebeis HaMikdash. One of the constant miracles of bebeis HaMikdash, shekshem shayim nichanoise chayim, just like they put the bread hot on the lechem up on the table. 7 days later, when they took it off, it was still hot. That the bread was hot on the day they took it off, like the day they put it in. So what's the kasha? So you have to chop the kasha. What are you worried about? That after it comes out of the oven, you want it to cool off.
Amazing.
It's not going to cool off anyway. Miraculously, it stays hot. The Gemara says that after 7 days, they would take it out and they would show the people that it was hot. Gemara says they cut the bread and steam would come up from the hot challahs to show the miracle that it stayed hot. So what are you worried about putting it on a shoshayish? It should cool off.
Who ate the challah? When they were
the kohanim divided it. The kohanim of that week's actually of the 2 weeks, the previous and next week's mishmar each divided. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi answers, "A maskirin ma'aseh nisim." Don't mention miracles. Why does that mean don't mention miracles? So Rashi, Karban Aida says, our job is to do things naturally. We have to do things al piteva. The best way to treat hot bread is to put it on a cool table, it should cool off. If God does miracles, that's God's job. Our job is to deal with the teva, the nature of the way it is. I was just at the chuppah, so Rav was there preparing the daf. He was also up to this. So I mentioned to him that Rav Palm, numerous times there were shilas where he would answer, you have to do things with teva. One thing I remembered, because I've mentioned it here recently, was I asked Rav Palm, we were learning Bava Basra. So the Gemara there says that a person, Shulchan Aruch brings, you're not supposed to give more than a fifth to tzedakah, because a person who gives away too much tzedakah may become poor, and he himself will have to be mutal al tzibur. Now the Rambam says that it's a guarantee, ain't adam isani min tzedakah. The Rambam says nobody becomes poor from giving tzedakah. It's a guarantee. Shulchan Aruch brings this Rambam, even though it's an Agadita type Rambam. Shulchan Aruch brings, ain't adam isani min tzedakah. You don't become poor from giving tzedakah. So I asked Rapam, so why does Shulchan Aruch say a page later, don't give more than a fifth, because you shouldn't become poor and be mutal al tzibur? So Rapam told me, you have to do things on teva. You have to behave naturally. You're supposed to deal with it in the natural way. There's a guarantee, there is a skula that ain't not the Messiah, even at stock. But a person has to do things in the natural way that things are normally done. There's a paperback tomorrow that you want to pass it. Yeah. Understand that.
I just want to say that's a reassurance.
What?
It's a reassurance for those people that give less than the chayim because they're worried.
So it's reassurance that they should give at least the chayimish. Yeah. Okay.
I'll never forget. I went to Rebbe with the shaylov is a sakanat, which chemotherapy to take. So somebody said should do the garla grow. The garla grow. There's still one or two people who could do it. So Rebbe said, I'll tell you what happened with me. I wasn't sure which chemotherapy. And I went to an expert and let him choose which is the third. He didn't go for any of the...
I'll tell you two things. He did the Garol Agra. Not in that case. He did it in front of me once. And secondly, I'll tell you the whole story of the chemotherapy once. It was fascinating, but I don't... There's a story. You're right, there's a story, but there's a little more to it.
But anyway. Me personally, I guess, shared my thoughts.
You're asking for someone?
Yeah.
Oh, so he told you to go to a third person.
He said, no.
Oh, okay.
Said,
I'm sorry. I thought you meant his own.
He said, do it his own. But he did himself at that time.
Okay.
He said he went for a Hirschak from...
Hirschhout, yeah.
And he said, from person, let him choose.
Okay. Rebbe, Bon Kamei Rebbe Ula. Loyo Yosham Lechem Mahu. La Nicha L'Shabbos Haba. If it comes to Lechem upon him week, and there's no fresh bread, they're out of flour. Mm-hmm. Can you use last week's bread a second week? Mm-hmm. Hear that?
Leave it on.
It's fresh anyway. It's fresh anyway. On the lines, he said, you should put bread in front of me forever, tamid, permanently. Lechem aponim. The girsa afilu posel, the Gra takes out. So it's not posel. Lechem aponim means afilu l'shvua haba. That you're allowed to use it a second week. So that's the end of the discussion of the Lechem Apan. Well, there's not Solina, the Gemara says Now we go to Nach. Asara Shulchanais Asa Shlaimai. I mentioned to you when we learned the previous Mishnah that Shlaimai made 10 Shulchans, 10 Menorahs, besides the original one. And three Kruvim.
So it was 11, 10?
It was 11 actually, right. Now, when you went into the Heichal, now the Heichal was bigger than the Mishkan. Mishkan was 10, was 10 across. This was 20 across. The Mishkan was 30 long, 10 for the Kodesh HaKodeshim, 20 for the Ohel Moed. This was double that. It was 40. So the room in which the Shulchan stood was 20 by 40.
The whole thing was 60.
And with the Kodesh HaKodeshim, it was 60. So the room was 20 by 40. He put in there 10 extra tables. 5 on the right, 5 on the left. Now what is 5 on the left, 5 on the right? Now let me just illustrate with this room. Now, those of you who hear Hanukkah know, we put the menorah where? Where do we put the menorah? On this side. We do like in the Beis HaMikdash. Mishka was on the menorah was on the southern wall. So that's why every shul puts it on the southern wall. Just like the menorah was on the southern wall. The shulchan faced it on the northern wall. So we put the shulchan on the northern wall. Now, it happens to be, we live in America, we face Mizrach. The Beis HaMikdash was towards Mariv. So exactly was inverted. It was on the right side where the tables, left side was the menorah. That's not important for our discussion now. Now imagine a room. You come in, you walk into the room, and you're going to have now 5 tables on the right, 5 tables on the left. So imagine you walk in this door. So it says 5 from the right, 5 from the left. What does that mean? So it could mean 5 on the right of the entrance and 5 on the left, which would be 5 to the south, 5 to the north. Or, that's one mandiyama. The other mandiyama says, no, you had your regular shulchan, 5 to the right, 5 to the left of the regular shulchan, in which case they were all on the northern wall. Okay, this is the south, and that's the north, this is east, and this is west, right? So,
lengthwise.
What?
Lengthwise.
So that was lengthwise, it was in the 40 amis across, according to one mandiyama. According to the mandiyama, 5 to the right, 5 to the left, it was across from Mizrach to Marav. From north to south.
These 10 tables had the same as the 13 we spoke about before, or separate?
No, separate. The 13 were 8 in the butcher area, and 2 near the ramp, and 3 inside. 2 were holding tables, that's not what we're talking about. These 10 were totally separate. We're going to concern ourselves only with these 10 and the Lechem HaPanim in this discussion. Right. That was in addition to the 10. And then there were 2 holding tables, which we're not counting now. We're not discussing.
One of the 5 extras and the lucky
ones. So, Shulchan Asara, Vianach Behechel, Chamisha Mimin, Chamisha Mismail. In Tema Chamisha Bedar, Chamisha Betsafin. We say 5 on the right, 5 on the left. Halay Ein Shulchan Kasher, Allah Betsafin, Shnei Mesa Shulchan Tid, Nat Salat Safin. The Shulchan is supposed to be on the northern wall. Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan was on the northern wall. He had 5 on the right of that and 5 on the left. Alpha Pikain, bread was put only on Moshe Rabbeinu's table. Shnemer says Shulchan Hashalav Lechem Apan. Rabbi Yosi Ber Yehuda Aimer, Akulon Oyem Misader. Shnemer says Shulchan is Va'aleim lechem apanim. You hear this? He says there was lechem apanim on all 11 tables. What does that mean? Now, in the Bavli, Rashi says it doesn't mean they had 11 sets of bread. There was one set of bread, and they rotated. They did it on different tables, different weeks. The Karban Eda brings that, and he brings a second shot that they actually had 11 times the amount of bread. So the Gemara is mashma that they didn't have that much bread. The Gemara Pesachim says they used to complain that each person got this tiny piece of bread. I don't know how many kainim there were. But at any rate, there are 2 versions. Now, you learn it and know it, because you're not going to learn this too often. Most people assume the Beis HaMikdash had 1 shulchan, 1 menorah. Here we're learning 11 shulchanais, and according to Wama and the Yomar, 11 sets of bread. Okay. 2 dots. Tani, Mizrach u'mariv hayin esunim, divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says they were put from Mizrach to Mariv, all alongside the north wall, where they belong. Rebbe Elazar ber Shimon Aimer Tzafin Vedarim Ayin Esunim. Manda Mizrach u'Mariv Nicha. If you say it was Mizrach to Mariv, that's good. Kulay Roy and L'Sheiris. They're all in the northern wall. Man yom mitzav v'rav nimsa shulchan bedarim. In the other way, shulchan bedarim, period. It's interesting that in the art scroll Gemara, they put here a footnote that the style of the Yerushalmi is not to get involved in too much discussion. Yavakasha, good, make a period and go to the next sugya. That's the style, because otherwise you learn, if you're used to learning Bavli, Gemara's a kasha, then it goes to a new discussion. What's going on here? But then we saw the Bavli jumps from discussion to discussion. It doesn't, the Yerushalmi goes from discussion to discussion. It doesn't continue. So at any rate, we have 11 tables and an argument about exactly where they were positioned, if north to south or east to west.
It was like a shulchan, not just a table. It was like
They were similar to the shulchan. Umenayra betzafin. And the menayra was on the northern side. Vahatani.
The kasha.
Oh, menayra betzafin. Like Arsina. Okay. The Tekabedei top line says like Arsina. It's menayra betzafin doesn't belong. Vahatani hashu. No, Vaha is also doesn't belong. Vitani, it should say. Okay? Vitani, we also learned. Hashulchan ayinotza mechatzi abayis ulifnim. Now, I told you it was 20 by 40, the room. The first 20 was roomy. Plenty of room, you walk in. All the items were in the second half of the room. All. There were three items in the Ayil Ma'ed. Menaira, Shulchan, and the little Mizbeach in center. So, they were all in the second half of the room. Mashuch min ha-kaisel beis amasu mechza, klapei atzafin. So you picture on one side the shulchan, but not against the wall, because you have to have people have to get in there to switch the breads. So it was 2.5 amos away from the wall. Umenayra kinegdei bedarim, and facing it on the other side of the room was the menayra. Mizbeach hazav hayinosim beemtza habayis. Mizbeach hazav was halfway. It was a 40 amah room in the middle. Beemtza habayis chaylik es habayis mechetzei lifnim. It divided the house, the room, which was 40, on the inner half, mashuch kima klapei chutz, slightly towards the outside. V'kulon yanasim mishlosh habayis ulifnim. Now, here, picture it again. Just for lack of a better thing, picture this room. 20 across and 40 in length. Okay, so you walk in from outside through here. First half of the room was spacious, plenty of room, nothing in the room. At the middle was the Mizbeach HaKetores. And then you had, well, in the Beis HaMikdash, the right side were the Shulchan. So you picture 11 Shulchanais on those 20 Amis, 11 Menairis on these 20 Amis. Okay, that's the way we're trying to picture. Esa Menairis. Now, let me have to add something. This is the mathematical problem here. A Shulchan is two Amis long. So, Moshe Rabbeinu's Shulchan stood by itself. The other 10 stood one after the other. 10 times 2 is 20. So it really took up exactly the second half of the room. So the Mepharshim here bring, it can't fit exactly 20 and 20. It usually doesn't work. So it was slightly longer. That's how the 20 were. Now these 10 were lined up independent of Moshe's Shulchan. See again, you picture Moshe's Shulchan and the 10. Moshe's Menaira and the 10, in the second half of the room. So, Eser Menaira Sasa Shleimish, Nemo Yasa Menaira Sazav, Eser Kimishpatai, V'yitim Behechel Hashem Behechel, Hemi Yamin, Hemi Smile. In Tamer Chamish Betzaf and Chamish Bedarim. Again, the same discussion. If you say 5 on the north, 5 on the south, Haleya Menaira Ksher El Bedarim. Menaira belongs on the south. Shneem Es Menaira Nechach Hashulchan Yerach Mishkan Teimana. The menorah was opposite to Shulchan on the side of the Mishkan, Teimana on the southern side. So as it means 5 to the right and 5 to the left, Chamish miyamin menorah seishal maisha, Chamish mismaila. So there were 5 and there were 10 lined up alongside Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah. Avavikein lo yoyim mavir elashol maisha bulvad. They lit only maishas, shenemru menorah zav and yuseha, levayer be'eriv Be'erev. Every evening they lit the menorah. B'yaisi Reb Yehuda Imer al kuloy hayamavir. B'yaisi Reb Yehuda said there was bread on all 11 tables. He says they lit all 11 menorahs. Shnemes menorahs and they say them levarom kimishpat. The menorahs and the candles still burn kimishpat. Zav sagor, fine gold. V'aperach, v'haneirois, v'amilkachayim, zavu, michloi zahav. And they all, they made also the flowers, all the things that Moshe's menorah had, this menorah had, michloi zav. What is michloi? Henkilu zav eshal Moshe. That they used up all the gold that the wealth of Shlomo HaMelech got to use up all the gold to make this. Tani Rabbi Yehuda, b'shem Asi ha-yishleim ha-noytel, elef kikrei zav. How big was the menorah? One kikar. He took 1,000 kikrei zav, mechnisin lakor, put it into a furnace, u'maytzion atshu mamidam al echad. Imagine that. They burnt off the impurities, like 99.9 carat. No, it was 100% pure. So here it's fascinating. The menorah represents limud haTorah, represents learning. Chazal say, asara elaf nichnasin lemikra, echad yaitza lahira. God doesn't expect every yeshiva boy who starts in kindergarten to end up learning haira, learning psak halacha. Everybody has to do what he can do. So the Gemara says, if 1,000 go in to kindergarten, to mikra, echad yaitza lahira, one of them will come out pure to be able to say psak. So that was Murum is here. Shlomo HaMelech took the menorah. Menorah represents Torah knowledge. He took 1,000 kor, burnt off 999, was left with one. It represents this idea that one remains. The Meshech Chachma writes also interestingly. He writes, the Gemara says, V'chila oiro tzarech, does God need the light of the menorah? Ela what? Ella, the light of the menorah was lit up the chachma of Klal Yisrael, represented the wisdom. Shulchan represented the wealth of Klal Yisrael, and the menorah, the wisdom. The Meshech Chacham makes a calculation that the area, total area of the Beis Hamikdash, the Ohel Moed and the Beis Hamikdash, was 11 times the area of the Ohel Moed. The Ohel Moed, I told you, was 10 by 20. Mm-hmm. This was 20 by 40, but it was much higher. It was very high. So he calculates that it was 11 times as much. So he says that's why they needed 11 times as much light. It represents the light of Torah. But the more there is, so it wasn't for the light of the room, it was for the light of the, that it represents the light of Torah, but their representation was represented. The bigger it is, the more menorah there is. That's his calculation. The windows in the Beis Hamikdash were narrower on the inside and wider on the outside. If you want to make, our windows are not so thick, but you look at the old thick buildings, it's the opposite. It's usually wider on the inside. Sunlight, as sunlight comes through, it expands. So normally you would do it the other way. It says in the Pasuk, when Shlomo built the Beis Hamikdash, he made it narrower on the inside, wider on the outside, as if to say, the sun doesn't give light to the Beis Hamikdash gives light to the world. The light shines out. It shines out to the world, and that's represented by the menorah. It says when you daven, you angle yourself to the right, haraitz lahachkim yadrim. We face the Beis Hamikdash. If you want to be a little wiser, angle yourself to the right, as if you're facing the menorah. And if you want to be wealthy, angle yourself to the left, as if you're facing the shulchan. So people shuckle this way, shuckle that way, a little of each. But who doesn't want both? But anyway, that's what it says in the Gemara in Brachas. Okay, Zakh the Gemara Vaita. Are we up to? The last five lines before the end of the Gemara. Tanya Amar Reb Yaisi Ber Reb Yehuda. Maisa B'mnei Rezav Sha'asa Maisha B'Midbar. Incredible story. It was off. Imagine. Very hard to understand this. Because we have a Kabbalah that Moshe didn't even make it. He threw it into a fire and miraculously it came out of kikar size. It was off by a dinner zav. How many put this as a dinner? Come on, I didn't ask you for a few days and forget.
Ketzev. 192.
192 put this. Okay, but anyway, that doesn't tell you how big it was. So a dinner zav, a golden dinner, it was off by a dinner. So what do? You throw it into the kiln again, and you burn off the impurities. They tried to burn off impurities 80 times and nothing happened. So the Gemara, is that possible? Every time you put metal in, you burn off some. Teres says, Adelayikim al birore, until it doesn't become 100% pure, you can burn off the impurities. Adelayikim al birore, have a chaser sagin. Until you burn off the impurities, you can make it lose a little. Mindai, but this one, Kayim al birore, was totally pure, so there was nothing to burn off. Alright, so these are the Shulchanais and the Menairais. So in addition to all your Yerushalmi, you learned a little Nach, both of which we were not so familiar with. Next Mishnah, Halacha Dalet. Shloisa Asa Shaifrais Hayah B'Migdash. 13 Shaifrais were in the Beis HaMigdash because of Alayim. Now Shaifrais, we know are Pushkis. Each Pusha was designated for a different use. So number one was Taklin Chaditin, the Shkolim for the new year. Number two, Taklin Atikin. If you didn't give last year's, so you would give last year's, you would pay up your arrears. Kinin v'gaizlei ayla, the pairs of birds that you sometimes mechuyev to bring, v'gaizlei ayla, and the doves that are carbon ayla. Now we're going to see in a minute in the Gemara, the Mishnah later, what the pair was. If it was a chatos and an ayla, or just an ayla. So we'll see in a moment. Eitzim, for wood. Levina, for the frankincense, for the levina that they burnt. Zav la kapires, gold for the kapires. That's seven. Is it seven?
That's an ongoing.
So we said that the zav la kapires was constantly, it was for constant repairs of the Zav la Kapayr, I was going to say constant repairs of the walls, but actually, that's not correct. It was for Klishares, okay. Oh, Kapayrus is the, I'm sorry. The Kapayrus in Tanakh is the basins from which they spritzed. Lechaper, it forgave. It was called Kapayrus, the Gemara says, because they used to wipe the kainim when they took the blood, used to wipe their hands on the edge of it. So these were for the klishares. Okay, not the kapayrus on the arin, but the basins that are kapayrus. What?
Which basins?
That held the blood that was going to be used for the zrika. Shisha l'nedava. And six for a nedava. These were all arranged in a circle in one area in the Beis HaMikdash. Tiklin chaditin, shabachal shana v'shana. The new tishkalim for that year. Atikin, mishulai hevi yishtakit, shekel shana haba. If you didn't give last year's, you throw it in for now. Kinin, hein tyrin. Kinin are the...
Pairs.
What are they called in English? Tyrin?
Turtle doves.
Goizale ayla, hein b'nei yayna. Those are turtle doves. I don't know what turtle doves are, but that's what it always says, turtle doves. That means the Bnei Yayna had to be under a year old. They're baby doves. Kulan Ayla, Stiv Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda holds what you throw in there is only an Ayla. No Chatas. We'll see why. Chachamim Ayrim, no, Kinim is a pair. Echa Chatas, Echa Ayla. So let's see what they argue. They're arguing basically whether you can anonymously donate a Chatas. And there's a lumdis to it, which we'll see. Goizale ayla kulan aylais. Hoy mehari alai eitzim. Someone says hari alai to bring wood. Now, if someone says beferish, I want to give wood this size, any size, it's fine. But if he says stoma, hari alai aylais, hari alai anything stoma, he has to bring the minimum complete shear that was used. So hari alai eitzim la yivchais mishnei gezirim. The shnei gezirim were the two pieces of wood. You will see there each was an amma al amma that were brought together on the mizbeach for the wood. Levaina leyivchitz mekayma. Where was levaina used? On the shulchan there were two cups of levaina, and each one was a kaimitz. We say zav, stam zav leyivchitz medin zav. Shisha lenedava nedava mahayosim ba. What did they do with the nedava money? Like him ba oilais. Habasa l'shem, for iris l'kayinim. This was a chiddush. That the ira, even though the money is being donated to the Beis HaMikdash, the kayinim gets something from it. So if a person put in money, part of that money would end up at kayinim. But it's okay. Because since you're donating it for an ayla, the aylas go to them. Zem medrish darash yuhu yada kayin gadol. Yehuda Kohen Gadol, he darshan for the benefit of himself. He said, I'll prove to you, Kainim can get part of it. Asham hu, Asham, Asham Lashem. An Asham hu, this doesn't mean a carbon Asham. It means an Ayla, which is brought as a forgiveness carbon to Hashem. Zakla. Kol shobah mishum chatas or mishum ashma, yilokach ben Aylais. Money which people donate for forgiveness, you buy an Ayla. Habasa Lashem, va'iris the Kainim. The basa goes to Hashem, and the Iris the Kainim. So he darshin Lashem Lakayin. Vaimer Kesef Asham Kesef Chatos Layuva Beis Hashem Lakayin Yihu. So what didn't all go to the Beis Hashem? The Kayanim got a piece of it. Alright, so what's this Mishnah? The 13 Pushkas, and then a sort of miscellaneous dinim about what were done with the Pushkas. Now, you have to know that the Pushkas were used specifically for Meiser, for leftovers of karbanis. Typically, a Jew brought a carbon, he brought there, he stood there, it was brought l'shem ba'ilim. If I say Hari Elai Oila, one of the lishmas is l'shem ba'ilim. So typically, I brought a carbon, and I have sacrificed it. But we learned that if a man says, this money is for an Oila, he goes to buy an animal, and the animal is cheaper than what he's buying. The leftover money is called meiser, osha, meiser, chata, meiser, Oila. That money, the meiser rice, went into these pushkas, and they were used for a carbon ayla. Tanya, I'm Reb Yehuda. Loi haya shayfa shakinim Yerushalayim. B'nei atarubais. Reb Yehuda said, you can't give a carbon chatas in a pushka. You're going to make problems because of a mixture of chatas and ayla. Why? Shema tomas achas v'nimsu d'mei chatas misais muraveis behem. Pshat is like this. A carbon ayla is a carbon ayla. No matter if the owner is dead or alive. A chatos, whose owner dies, is one of the chamisha chatos hameisais. There were five cases where a carbon chatos had to die. Couldn't do anything with it. Because a chatos is a kapara, and it's only brought as a kapara. And therefore, if the owner dies, he can't do anything. So Buddha says, I'm going to have a problem. You're going to throw money in the pushka, and the owner is going to die. Now, look, if the owner dies and he gave money, so if he didn't die, he's cheskes chai, you're makriv it. If you find out he died, you take his money, you throw it into the Yam HaMelech, you can't use it. That's in a normal case. But if you throw it into the pushka, his money is mixed with so many people's money, you don't know which is his. You're going to have to throw all the money away, and all the people that wanted to give an ayla, they don't have an ayla. They don't even know it. They went back home, and they don't realize it. So if Yudah said, we're going to have a problem. Then you have to realize, if you don't hear he died, there's a cheskas chai. There's an assumption a person is alive. The Gemara says that there's something called the chazaka de meikara. If something is a certain way, we assume it stayed that way. If a man sends someone to give a get to his wife, in pre-telephone days, so he could be in Russia, he sends someone across Europe to go to Britain, and he gives it. Maybe the person died. If he died, there are no children, the woman needs Yibum, Bachalitza. We assume Cheskes Chai. We assume someone's alive. That's the assumption. Here also, you put money in, we assume the person's alive. Rabbi Yehuda is afraid we'll find out he died. So if we have his money, so you throw it in the Yam HaMelech, you can't use it. But if you don't have his money, if his money's mixed with other money, it's a disaster. Because not only you have to throw away a lot of money, which is bad enough, but all the other people who are menadiv, the nedava never came through. They threw it in the menorah, they went home, and it's lost.
It's not a problem. Bottle.
Money is not bottled. Gemara says in Beya, the money is not bottled. If your money falls in mixed with my money, we don't say bottle bereiv. Gemara brings a story of a Tana, very strange Gemara in Beya. It says, in Amira, moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he davened, he shouldn't say anything dumb. And then he said something very foolish. He said, somehow they had the shayla of money mixes with money. What happened? It's bottle. So he said, yeah, if your money falls into my money, it's bottle and I keep all the money. Like that's what the Gemara says. So we say that money is not bottle. So Mimela, all the money will have to go be thrown out and then that's a problem. Let's see it inside. And there to Rumais, Shema Thomas Achas Nimsa Dmechatois Mesis Murabas Ben. Votanya, but we learned. Ha'isha Shamra Harei Alei Kain. Maybe to make Kain V'noisna B'Shaifar. We said that a woman who has to bring a carbon, she puts the money in the pushka. Vaychelis bekachim. And she can rely that it was nikrav that day. See, she's not only kachim until it's offered. She's called b'chus ha-kippurim. But she can eat. We're not afraid that the kainim were lazy. And the kayin doesn't have to worry that there's money from a dead donor mixed in. So we see you don't worry about it. And for the Gemara, you're right. If you don't know, you don't have to worry. But Rabbi Yehuda is worried that we'll find out one of them died, and then we'll be in trouble. V'yam Rinan. Why don't we say the following? You have here 1,000 coins, 1,000 zuz. Every 4 zuz represents 1 carbon. And someone died. Nivrar dalit zuzi. Let's pick out 4 zuz. And let's say these 4 zuz are for that donor. V'nishri b'nahara, throw it into the yam. Idach lishteru. And let's say the rest are mutter. Can we do that? It's like Gemara. Amrina ba'am rabiyud les le breira. What does breira mean? Now, in Yiddish, chavdish kam breira has nothing to do with this. Breira here is a technical term. It's a legal term which appears in a few places in Shas. I'd like to mention, when I did the art scroll Erevin. Oh, you remember. We did the art scroll Erevin. It was only the second art scroll book. So any Shas term, we had to come up with a phrase for. So it went through, like I knew, you know, I wrote the original and then it went to the editors. So whatever I wrote had no chance of making it, you know. It went through a dozen editors. So I like to say, it's like a chip on my shoulder. The word boyer, I translated, I wrote the first article, the RFA has 2 volumes. First, I translated bar, a pit, a water pit. The editor changed it to cistern. Fine, changed to cistern. So I wrote that one summer, I did the first Erevin, next time I did the second. So the second time I was writing the second Erevin, I had bar, so I wrote cistern. So guess what? They changed it to water pit. The first volume says sister, the second volume says water pit. And I don't know if they ever changed it back to make it uniform. That's the way it is. So about Breira. What is Breira? So they came up with a very good words. It's retroactive designation. Now this is a Shas sugi. This is Machlekes and Shas, Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. Now a typical case is a man dies and he leaves a Yerusha. He leaves a 5,000 gold coins. He has 2 sons, no bechor, 2 sons. So one takes 2,500 coins, one takes 2,500. If you say yesh breira, then halacha looks at it as if he yarshan these 2,500, and he yarshan these 2,500. Breira means retroactively, from the father's death, we say he got this, he got that. We say ein breira, then it's not retroactive. Then they both inherited the whole 5,000 b'shutfus. And now they made a deal, they divided it.
What's a nafkamina?
What's a nafkamina? Nafkamina is if the father left 2 fields, and one son takes 1 field, one son takes the other. Now yovel comes. Now if you say he yarshened this field, he yarshened this field, it's permanent.
It doesn't go back.
But if you say they both yarshened both,
Lekuchas.
Then achim shalakhu, lekuchay say. Brothers who divide are like doing their new business deal. Every yovel, the brothers have to get together and divide it again. That's enough. If the price change, it'll change. So that's called Breira. Now in Breira, if Yod Yesh Breira, this Gemara is saying, you could pick out 4 coins. Say retroactively, these 4 coins are for that person's carbon. Now we're not saying these are the 4 that she put in. But we're saying these are the 4 that are for her carbon.
That's right.
Those are 4 for her carbon. And Mamela, we throw it in the yam, everything's mutter. Rabbi Yudol's Ein Breira, he can't do this. And therefore he disagrees, he says he can't put chatas money in such a mixture, in such a shayfa. That's the din of Breira.
If you have a shaliach involved, whether in case of the get, as soon as he receives the get, she's in the Russia.
Right.
Also regarding the chatas, also the same thing. As soon as, you know, the shaliach receives the money.
No. A chatas is not mechapto zrika, even if they shechted it.
Right.
Zrika mechaperis, the spraying of the blood, is what brings the kapara.
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes a difference.
What?
It doesn't make a difference.
Right. The Gemara says further, Reb Yaisi Berebbain, Omarev Ba, we didn't have Reb Ba for a while, Bar Mamel, Boy Omar, Hare Olai Eitz. I'm going to bring, he didn't say Eitzim, Eitz. Maybe gizer echad. He brings one gizer. Like the first. The shnei gizirim, the area on top of the mizbeach that held the burning wood was an amma by an amma. Mm-hmm. So a giz, they put two. So if he said eight, he brings one. Now if he brings one, that means one is chashuv as a carbon by itself. You could clear, when you bring two pieces of wood, is that like two offerings of wood? Or is that one offering, which is two? So the Gemara says, Amr of Lezer, Masnisa Amra, Kain, Shuzeh Karbin Bifnei Atzmai, Vizeh Karbin Bifnei Atzmai. When you bring the two pieces of wood, you never had this, that the wood is called a carbon, Chazal called a carbon Eitzim. Kahai de Tanin on Taman, we learned, Shnayim. How many Kainim were given the honor of bringing the wood up? Two. B'yadam Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. One kayin, one wood, one kayin, the other. Mm-hmm. That's to demonstrate that each big piece of wood, amal amal, is not so big, it's 2 feet by 2 feet. And each one would be considered a separate carbon. Carbon, l'rabbi says ha'etzim. And, b'yom shteg is re'etzim. Carbon, l'rabbi says ha'etzim. I hope the grunt takes that out because it doesn't flow. Gimel. Carbon, l'rabbi says ha'etzim, like I've seen. I'm good. The Gra takes out those 4 words. Shuv and Levi Yomer, Oivyan Amma. Ba'ama, Seicha Kais or Sheicha Kais, depending on what it means. Or actually, I think it's Tupshatim. Amma Seicha. Okay, there are 2 ways of doing an Amma. An Amma is a fist. A tight fist is a typical Amma. In the Beis HaMikdash, they did Amma called Seicha Kais, like laughing. Laughing means loose. A loose Amma, slightly more. So Beis HaMikdash gained a little bit. So that's called Seicha Kais.
Is that a
teva? A teva made of six, an amma made of six tvachim that were loose tvachim. Amma Seichas. Varachan amma geduma. And its length was a precise amma. Reb Chaini b'shem Rabami kimintur tani. A square, somehow in what's Greek for a tet?
Tetragram,
yeah, a four-sided. That was the size. Therefore, in the thickness, you could have amma seikais. That's up. But in the across, it was exactly an amma, and therefore it couldn't be seikais. Tani kane. Amma yisayid, amma saiviv, amma karkiv, amma kronis, amma marach. The Mizbeach had many ammais. In amma yisayid, the foundation went up an amma and indented. Then it went up and had the saiviv. It had an area going around. Amma karkiv, a decorated amma. Amma kronis, amma maracha. They were all exact ammais. So this is the wood on the Mizbeach. Next thing in the Mishnah was Levina. Now again, Levina was on the Shulchan, people not so familiar, because in Yeshiva we always learn about the breads. But there were two spoons, they were like kapais, the Gemara calls
Bazichin.
It. Bazichin. There were spoons of Levina, kaimitz, it's not a lot, if you, not much you can fit in this many fingers, and that's how much was in each. The matir of the Lechem Apanim was the Levina. They didn't eat the Lechem Apanim until they burnt that frankincense on the Mizbeach.
Every mincha too also had levaina.
And a mincha had levaina as well. Levaina, yeah. Sprinkled
they,
on well,
did they grind that every day?
They ground it before they put it on, but this was put once a week.
So that lasted a long time then, conceivably. These are big spoons for that a are week. Holding a lot. Right, so every week come out there.
No, but at the end of every week they burnt it. So it just remained that small amount. At the end of the week, when they removed the lechem upon them, they burnt the levaina.
And then they got a new batch.
And then they got a new kaimitz, not a whole lot. Two kaimitz, actually, one on each. So levaina leyefetz mekaimitz nemakan askara nemalahalan askara. It says by mincha askara l'Hashem. It says by levaina askara maskara malahalan. Just like by mincha, we all know mole kaimitz. It's a kmitza. Af askara mekan also levaina mole kaimitz. Im askara malahalan shnei kaimitzim. Aye, by the levaina you had two. Because there were two piles of bread. Each one had its own. Af askara murakan shnei kaimitzim. So maybe a donor also has to give two. The source of the shear is from a mincha. Over there, it has to be one kaimitz, not less, but not more. Here also, it has to be exactly a kaimitz. and no less. Amr Rav Yaisi, Milsa, de Rav Ila, Amra, Hamisnadev, Levaina, Mevia, Bekamse, Shokayin. If you're going to give Levaina, do it the hand of a Kayin. Why? I'm not a Kayin. I'm going to donate it. The Kayin's going to have to use it. It has to fit his hand. So it has to fit the hand of a Kayin. So it's got to be enough that it'll fit his hand. He give a kaimitz of the donor. That's also good. Zav, if you give gold, not less than a dinner. That's if you say a coin, the smallest coin is of gold is a dinner. Avalam lahis katsura, maybe a filatzinaira. If you said gold, not a gold coin, you could bring the equivalent of the smallest of the kel klishares that were used in the Beis Hamikdash. So tzinaira is a small fork. Others say it's a small stick that was used, the smallest donation. So basically what we're saying is this. If someone donates in a language which is ambiguous to the Beis Hamikdash, it's going to be the smallest of that item. So if you give me a levina, the smallest of that. Wood, the smallest of that. And finally, the last thing in the Mishnah, Shisha Lenedava, six pushkis for Nedava, Chizki Aime Keneged Shisha Batei Avais. See, here it's interesting. If you're a Kayin, you get your one day of glory, right? Because every Kayin, it was divided to 24 families, and each family was called the Mishmar. Now, each Mishmar divided itself into six families, and each one worked Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There's actually one on Shabbos, but on Shabbos they didn't bring Eilas Nadava. So we're talking about six Batei Avos. Now, if you're a Kayin, you want to get as many Eilas as you want. Why?
Skin.
I would think so you want a mitzvah. But the first mistakes, they wanted the skins. Okay. Depends how frum you are. But whatever it is, each person, so each guy would go and loot the menorah. He'd take the menorah and take out all the money and try to pile on as many eilas as he could. So to make shalom, they divided it into six pushkis. And, you know, potluck, wherever person donated it, each family, the Sunday family had a pushka Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And hopefully by next Sunday, there'd be new donations for the new one. So therefore, shisha batei avos. Bapadya imer keneged shesh behemos. There are six choices of animals to offer as a sacrifice. Par, egel, seir, al gedit le. So, when you donate, choose which one. Shmuel Aimer, keneged shisha karbanis. Keneged six karbanis. Now, we're talking really about the meiser. These are nedavis. It was used for an ayla. If somebody had extra money for any of these six karbanis, kanezavim v'kanezavais, that's one. Kineyaldais, chatois, that's three. Ashamais, Haminchais, Asiris Ha'efa. That's six. What is Asiris Ha'efa? So I'll remind you. Asiris Ha'efa, the Kohen Gadol, every day at his carbon. That he offered. What? What? It was Kulai Kalil. And that's why. So all these six were, the money that was thrown in was used for these things.
He said it before.
Well, it was labeled. Presumably each push got a label. Yeah. Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Ayidei Sharadava Maruba, Ribula Shefaris Harbe. He says, no, there were six, just there wasn't enough room for money. In one pushka, they had six. Now, the Mepharshim say that the money would spoil too much in one. So I'm not familiar. Anybody understand why money would spoil?
Old coins rusted,
gold and silver coins rusted.
That long? That's impossible.
But I don't think gold rusts anyway. Does gold rust?
Not like that.
Moldy.
Tarnishes.
Moldy. They weren't still
tarnishes. Okay.
E push.
Anyway, that's what it says. That it would stay there. It would get damaged. Ksiv kachaloisam hevil ofnei hamelach v'yayada. It says in the pasuk. So once we mention Yayada in the Mishnah, Yayada was the one who instituted this whole pushka system. So already bringing other drushes about what he did. Shem benakshim rebiyayin senaymer. Shnei nedavis asa. He made two sets of nedavis, two pushkis, originally. They're arguing about interpreting the pasuk in Nach. If the original Yehuda Kayan Gadol had one pushko or two, They made a box. Though at that time, they didn't think of shayfers yet. They had a box. They put it in the heichal. And they made a hole in its door. It says elsewhere that they put it on the outside. People who Tamei wanted to bring, they had one outside. See, here's the love of kasha on what I told you. I mentioned to you, the Mishnah in Brachos says, you're not allowed to bring money into the Beis HaMikdash. So, I understood that these pushkas were kept on the outside. Mariah is saying, Yehuda's original pushka was inside, and a second pushka was put outside for the Tamei people. Now, you have to know, somebody who's, there are different levels of Tumah that restrict where you're allowed to go. Somebody who's a Tamei mace is allowed to go on the Harabayas. Mm-hmm. Even today, on the other side of the Kaisel, as long as you stay hugging the Kaisel, the 11 Abbas close to the Kaisel, a Tamei mace is allowed to go. Now he has to go, he has to be tar from being a Balkari. He has to go to Mikvah. Mm-hmm. He can't go in with shoes, etc. He can't go in with money. So that seems to be a difficulty. I would say you can't go in with money. And here it says that they had money on the inside. So I'm guessing, I didn't see anybody who has the cash, I'm guessing one of two things. The Mishnah says you can't go in with a money belt. So the Michas Chinuch declares if it means you can't go in with any money, or you can't go in with visible money. So Tarmila is a money belt, it's visible. So apparently, this Gemara holds that you could go in with money, as long as he's not wearing a money belt. It's not covered to go with a money belt. So Mela, they took in money. A second possibility might be, why don't you walk in with money? It's a bazaar. You walk in with money, you're taking your business into the Beis HaMikdash. If you're walking in with money to donate the money, so maybe that's the exception. You go to the Rebbe. So you bring your money. It's not nice. You're walking holding money. If the money's for the Rebbe, so there's nothing wrong. You know, you put it down on the table, you give it to the Rebbe. So one of these are the two possible answers. I didn't see any of the Mefarshim who asked the cash. Reb Chiya b'shem Reb Yosef said, "Ach layase beis Hashem svois kesef mizamrais." They didn't take from the money that was donated to make musical instruments
instruments.
What was the other one? Musical instruments or
silver bowls?
Or silver bowls. Yeah. They were limited in the klisharis they made. Were only the needed klishares, and not the not needed klishares. The musical instruments is a machlaikis in the Bavli, it's probably so in the Yerushalmi as well, whether the ikashira bepeh or not, or ikashira bekli. The madiyamot ikashira bekli, the main music was with instruments. He also, the instruments were klishares as well. It's a madiyama ikashira bepeh. The main singing in the Beis HaMikdash was with a voice. They brought, the Hinder Mitzvah, they brought instruments. According to him, the instruments were not klishares. And, they were just brought in, you brought in your guitar, you're allowed to bring it in as a hinder of the singing.
But the Kohanim didn't play these musical instruments, the Levim.
Levim played it. But we're saying the Kohanim set up the Beis HaMikdash, the money that was given was not used for musical instruments either. They're not klishares, it's pashit. Even if they are klishares, we're saying that this pushka was not made for that type of klishares. Okay, Hajjun Allah, Perek Yud Gimel Shayfreis. I guess we'll learn just the Mishnah. Let me explain the Mishnah, we'll get to it next week. The Torah has rules for what we call Hanhagas Asfakis. What to do when you're not sure. The Torah has rules. So one rule is Raiv. Everyone heard of Raiv. Raiv, Halchanacha HaRaiv, called the Parish Meruba Parish. What does that mean? If you're walking in the street and you find there's a bag, you pick up a bag, and there's a frankfurter, a fresh frankfurter in a bun, and it's got even mustard and sauerkraut, but it's got no label. You don't know, did it come from McDonald's, it's Treif? Or did it come from, from one of the kosher places? The halacha is if you find money in the street, meat in the street, halchanacha harayv, called the parish Meruba Parish. If in that area, most butcher stores are kosher, so then you go according to the kosher butcher. You go, you can assume it's kosher. You have a right to assume it's kosher. If you hold Basar Shana Salman Ayin is Asar, how could that be? The Gemara says you saw someone drop it, you ran after him, so it wasn't the Salman Ayin, but you don't know if the one who dropped it was a Jew or not a Jew. So you go Basar Raif. Our Mishnah says there's a second criteria. Let's first talk, there's no raif. Let's say everything's 50-50, exactly. You find a Frankfurter in the street. Holchinacha hakarayv. You go according to the closest one. Whichever butcher store is closer, you go according to the closest butcher store. That's karayv. Now, of course, the question is, if you have raif says one thing, and karayv says something else, what do you do? So Gemara has a rule, raif hakarayv, holchinacha harayv. Raif is stronger than karayv. Here the Mishnah just talked about 13 pushkas. The Gemara has a shiloh. What happens if you find money next to the pushka? Could happen on the shulchan. There are two pushkas. Let's say one's a Ramea Balanes pushka, one's a shul pushka. And you find a quarter on the table. What do you do? So the halacha is, you go basakarayv. Whichever one the quarter is closer to, that's the one. Where do you learn karayv from in the Torah?
Egla Rufa.
By Egla Rufa, you measure to the closest city, Hachanacha Kar. So that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Moishe Nimsu Ben Ashkolim LeNedava. The Pushkas were in a circle. The first one was Shkolim, the last one was Nedava. Find between Shkolim and Nedava. Karv LeShkolim, Yiplu LeShkolim. LeNedava, Yiplu LeNedava. Then the Mishnah just goes through all 13 Pushkas and says the same rule. You go by what's closest.
And these are 13, why 13 per se? Were there 13 points?
Were 13 pushkas for the 13 different needs.
Okay.
Okay, so Yitzhashem, I guess we'll start this Mishnah of Yitzhashem tomorrow.